fund his campaign.
State television in North Korea showed scenes of mourners lining the streets today for Kim Jong-il's funeral. At the head of the procession was his son and chosen successor, Kim Jong-un. An Indiana man is in jail and accused of killing a young girl who was living in his home. And CNN's Tommy Andres tells us that's not the worst of it.
39-year-old Michael Plumador has been charged with the murder of 9-year-old Aliana Lemon after police say he confessed to repeatedly beating the girl over the head with a brick. Allen County Sheriff Ken Free says Plumador then allegedly cut the body up with a hacksaw and stored parts of it in garbage bags in his freezer.
To sit there and listen to this and, act as though you don't want to get up there and have your own form of justice, it's very difficult.
Aliana's grandmother says Plumador was babysitting the little girl while her mother recovered from the flu. Tommy Andres, CNN.
Democrat Ben Nelson says he won't run for re-election to the Senate next year.
The decision was about whether to spend another 6 years plus 1 year serving in the Senate or doing some other things that I want to do.
He's a moderate who became somewhat infamous as the author of the Cornhusker Compromise, a special deal for Nebraska that almost killed the health reform law. FBI background check records show that legal gun sales are reaching record numbers, with new highs in both November and this month. The one-day record was set on Black Friday. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
Today, Assign Afghanistan may be trying to overcome its troubled and violent recent past. The nation's government has struck a deal for the first ever oil refinery to be built in Afghanistan and for the most extensive exploration of the nation's oil and gas resources to date. That deal is with the state-run oil company of China. Today, China says it will continue to increase the flexibility of its currency. The comment follows a U.S. Treasury Department report declaring the Chinese yuan undervalued, which declined to call China a currency manipulator. When it comes to customer satisfaction, overstock is underwhelming. This morning, analytics firm 4C issues its latest satisfaction measure of the 40 biggest online merchants. Tops again is Amazon.com, followed by Avon, JCPenney, QVC, Apple, and Vistaprint, all in a tie. Overstock is worst. The biggest year-to-year drop is Netflix. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
It works in an advanced homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling, gone.
Zyvestra is amazing.
No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706. Stop the dizziness. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identity stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it quickly. Even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her. While she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a...
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
How many times have these words come out of my mouth? It's not enough to show up anymore. It's time to stand up, right? You've heard me say it over and over again at every rally I speak at every Democratic club you invite me to. I say the same thing. It is time to stand up. But what does that mean? I have found, by the way, the manual, the field manual for the First Shift radio show. It is in the form of the book I have in my hand right now and my next guest. I'm happy to tell you that this will be the first of two interviews because just one interview with Bruce Levine wouldn't have been enough. Bruce Levine joins us now. He is a writer and speaks widely on society, culture, politics, and psychology, and where psychology intersect. He is the author of three books, including "Surviving America's Depression Epidemic" and "Common Sense Rebellion." His latest book is the one that I am here to share with you today. It is entitled "Get Up, Stand Up: Uniting Populists, Energizing the Defeated, and Battling the Corporate Elite." Bruce Levine joins us from Cincinnati this morning. Thank you for writing the field manual for First Shift. Bruce, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good to be on your show, Tony.
Well, you know, here, I'll just, again, throw the statement out. It's not enough to show up. Now you've got to stand up. It sounds like the right thing to say, and I guess I'm using it still because it seems to resonate with people. I think we need to define a little bit further what that means. What I hope we accomplish over the next two visits together, Bruce Levine, is an opportunity for people to begin to understand the reality of where they're at, why they may feel the way they feel, and then by extension, getting them up off the couch and getting them engaged. Bruce, do you think you can help me with that task a little bit?
Sure. That was the goal of the book.
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, my producer and I are both in love with this book, and I'm going to make a pledge today. In fact, I'm going to do this when we get a hold of Gail later on. I want to buy 20 copies of this book. I want to give it to 20 of my audience members. And I want people to begin to understand the reality of what it means to get up and stand up. With that said, Bruce Levine, obviously there are a lot of disenfranchised folks in this world. Is there a particular reason why we're just doing more complaining and less action?
Yeah, I think what happens to a lot of people, and people around the world know this, a little bit more than the Americans, who are still kind of, a lot of us are in denial, think that we still live in a democracy. And democracy means that you have real power over your life. And most Americans at some level know that this government can just invade and occupy another country without the majority of Americans even understanding why. They can just bail out these two big to fail corporations and you know, Wall Street scoundrels, and most Americans oppose it, but it still goes on. And so increasingly we become like a kind of banana republic psychologically, whereas people really feel completely powerless to stop things that they don't want to have. And so what happens is that just psychologically at some point, when you move into this kind of state of where there's so much external kind of oppression that you can't really change, you move into a kind of internal oppression, a kind of defeatism, a kind of fatalism, or what Bob Marley, sort of the poet laureate of oppressed people around the world, has called mental slavery. And so he sang a lot about how to emancipate ourselves from this mental slavery.
Well, you know, in the book, you start off with some information by historians Lawrence Goodwin, and you write, Goodwin concludes that the democratic movements are initiated by people who are not resigned to the status quo or intimidated by established powers, and who have not allowed themselves to be, quote, culturally organized to conform to established hierarchical forms, unquote. Now, that is brilliant. I mean, that's truly brilliant, and it really is the basis. You know, I've only been on the air 8 weeks after a 5-year absence from the airwaves. You know, when this opportunity came about, and for me it wasn't about doing a radio show, it was about starting a movement. Am I on the right track?
Yeah. I mean, the interesting, what Goodwin did was spent the whole life. He was a journalist first and then moved into being a historian, and he spent a lot of his career studying democratic movements, and so he was interesting for me. He's interesting for me for a couple of levels. One was to just look at the sort of strategies and tactics that people have utilized in democratic movements, so I go a lot into that and get up stand up. I mean, there's three important areas. One is just understanding how you're being oppressed and exploited, and I think a lot of Americans get that far more than a lot of pundits think. The second is understanding the strategies and tactics that you need to utilize to take back power, which we've lost. We've forgotten some of those, so I talk a lot about that and get up, stand up. But the third piece is the biggest piece that we're completely ignoring, and that is the major reason why I wrote Get Up, Stand Up, was understanding the psychological and cultural building blocks for democratic movements. And what was interesting for me with Goodwin, reading him, as I've been a psychologist for over 25 years, is that the same kind of building blocks that are necessary for individuals to recover from their own periods of deep malaise and deep emotional difficulties are the same ingredients that are necessary for democratic movements to build. And these are having and recovering individual self-respect and recovering a sense of a collective self-confidence that one could win. And along with these, it means recovering one's determination, one's courage, one's guts, old-fashioned virtues that aren't really talked enough about in school today, and recovering solidarity. I mean, that is huge. There's no democratic movement that succeeds without all those things: risk, guts, intelligent risk, solidarity, self-respect restored. All these things are big variables, and so I spend a lot of time thinking about how those things have been lost. And I go through 12 major areas and get up, stand up, but also how we recover. That's the most important thing I care about.
Right, and we're going to get into this as much as we possibly can. Again, my guest is Bruce Levine, author of the book Get Up, Stand Up. It is available in bookstores everywhere. You know, we've actually earlier this week had that caller who finally said what should have been said long ago. There are more of us than there are of them. You talk about being outnumbered, but you also talk about unlearning powerlessness, which is something that you were just referencing. And, you know, maybe that's where at the crux of what we're going on right now is we feel powerless, and we do need to unlearn that. But how long a process is that? Because I don't have a lot of time, Bruce Levine, for this movement.
Well, I mean, there's different levels. I mean, all of us can be doing something. I think that's one of the most important messages that I want to convey. There's a lot of people who feel like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, Bruce Levine, I'm not an author here, I don't get on the radio, I'm not Tony, you know, with a radio show. What the heck can I do? That's a common experience that a lot of people have. And I think one of the things that I want to convey is that since we've been broken on so many different levels of our society, there's so many different levels that we can recover our feelings of of having some power, which are necessary for real democracy. And so one of the areas that I focus in on is just how young people have been broken. That's sort of the scariest thing, and one of the scariest things in America, because if you take a look at the history of democratic movements, or even, you know, contemporary democratic movements, say in Egypt, it's young people out there who are in the forefront because, you know, they don't have family responsibilities, and there should be, it should be easier for them to take the risks to get out there. And in America, we have, through a lot of different ways, broken the spirit of resistance against oppression in young people. And so the good news is that there's many different ways that once you understand how young people's spirit of resistance has been broken, all of us have been a part of that, and all of us can do something to transform that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, going back to the work, Get Up, Stand Up, you write, pain is reduced by a platform in which one's voice can be heard by others. Pain is increased when one feels completely voiceless, impotent, and powerless. Obviously, this is an opportunity. This show is an opportunity for every people. I'd say to you all the time, we all own this show. It's not my show. It's our show. So we've got an opportunity here, and we need to make sure that we take advantage of that. You know, and so with that said, and again, as you go on throughout this book, it seems to me very clear, if people are trying to understand the base at why they may be a little bit paralyzed, there is a psychological reason to this, and the good news is we can address it and move on from it.
Yeah. I mean, so for example, in many different areas of life, we'll just take a stick with this area of young people. What's happening to them in their schools today? Well, that's an area that we can do a lot about. I mean, historically, a lot of anti-authoritarian critics of American schooling, this goes way back to Henry David Thoreau to Mark Twain to, by the way, across the board politically, from left anti-authoritarians, people like Alfie Cohn, to libertarian anti-authoritarians, have all understood that a big problem of standard schools in America has been that despite what information they're conveying, the big message that they teach is for people to just obey, often obey things that are really don't make any sense, and that's not been taught in these places is critical thinking and curiosity. And too many Americans out there think about their years in school as a place where they lost interest in reading and lost interest in thinking about things rather than got excited about it. And this has gotten much worse with these Democrat, Republican, bipartisan No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top, which is now going to create public schools that are totally fear-based with this testing. And this fear-based thing has to do with if administrators are terrified if kids don't pass these standardized tests, which, by the way, have nothing to do with having people think more critically and challenge authority and all that kind of thing, challenge illegitimate authority. And so there's fear in administrators, teachers have fear, parents have fear, and if you have a fear-based educational system, you're not going to be able to think critically. You're not going to be able to learn the fundamentals of democracy, which is to decide which authorities in your life are legitimate or not legitimate, and to question, resist, and challenge. And without that, you know, you're not going to have democracy. And there's a lot of things that we can do about that. Teachers, counselors, parents, all of us can do something about that.
All right, we need to take a quick break here. Bruce Levine with us. Get Up, Stand Up is the book. Now do you see why we were so excited? Now do you see why we've been referencing this book for a couple of weeks? It all makes sense. Let's take the break. We'll be back on First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano.
Happy holidays, stay with us. Thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, this summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Again, my guest, Bruce Levine. He is author of the book, Get Up, Stand Up, really the field manual for this program. It is what we will refer to from this point forward. And I assure you, this will become the Bible, my Bible. This is one of those books that I plan to read repeatedly. And I'm glad that Bruce Levine is here with us. You know, Bruce, does the media have, do they have some responsibility in dragging down the American people? Just yesterday in Greece, as you know, a major protest, hundreds of thousands of people show up. We celebrate when we get, 300 people at a rally. It seems to me that there's this disconnect with what's happening globally to what's happening locally. Does the media share some responsibility in that?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's definitely the problem of the corporate media not exposing the American people to what's going on in the rest of the world in terms of people actually a lot of the world they're taking much more seriously democracy than Americans are here, and so it's always important for those running the show, the corporate elite, what I call the corporatocracy, that it's always important for them that the courage doesn't become contagious because of, you know, they saw what happened in the Middle East and that part of the world. Once certain people start to kind of think it's legitimate for them to actually fight for their rights and not get pushed around, that kind of thing is contagious. So that's always a kind of great fear for the corporate elite, that people just start to make connections here of what's going on around the rest of the world in America, and people in America start thinking like, well, you know, why can't we be doing the same thing, not putting up with this stuff, doing things like general strikes, which is, you know, you just haven't seen in America, certainly in recent history, and that's really the way that business gets, that's how you get their attention, when they start losing money. I mean, they don't really care that much about all kinds of things that people do to protest, including, you know, hundreds of thousands of people just demonstrating against the government. As long as they're not losing money, they don't care that much. But in general strikes, they do.
You know, it goes back to something I say all the time on this show, folks. Three words, what are they? Follow the money. Let me just take an issue, Bruce Levine, and then we're going to try to get in everything we can before we got to let you go at the top of the hour. Labor unions are a very important part of the Southeast, the state of Michigan and Southeast Michigan for sure. Yet Republicans especially have decided to co-opt this issue and really have attacked collective bargaining. This should be a rallying call for union members. In fact, my most recent blog post was asking people in unions to get closer to the unions, to re-engage. We do need to get folks in unions to re-engage. I believe that it's the organized labor that's going to finally move us beyond where we're at right now. You know, why do you think the Republicans have decided that they're going to pick on organized labor of all the crazy things?
I think one of the really great hopeful things that I point out and get up stand-up is that the elite are arrogant and they're often stupid. I mean, and that they make these kind of mistakes of arrogance where they've already crushed the unions in many ways in America here. We've got it from, you know, a generation ago, 35% of people in America were part of a labor unions, and now it's 12%, and the private sector is down to 6 or 7%. And so they've already kind of crushed unions. They already got folks, these folks in Wisconsin, to agree to take these major cuts they had to increase their contributions to pension funds and in their health care benefits, and that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to completely break their ability to collectively bargain, and they went too far. I mean, and that's what happens when you're arrogant. And often, if you take a look at history of democratic movements, when people who are in control, they lose touch with what the line is, where they've gone too far, and they revitalize movements. And hopefully that's exactly what's happening to the American union movement, where there's lots of reasons I go through and get up, stand up, how that's been crushed. And a lot of it has to do with the corporate elite, but a lot of it, unfortunately, is union movement themselves had gotten too tame, had gotten too conservative. And we saw in the 1970s, I come from a union family, so I'm aware of what happened even then when union leadership was getting too tame, and workers themselves had to move into wildcat strikes. My father was part of the wildcat strike of postal workers in 1970. There were Teamster wildcat strikes then. You know, basically workers having to even revolt against their own leadership. Why? Because their leadership had been kind of sort of like been playing the game of management too much. And so what hopefully will happen here, this is the dream of working people all care about real democracy out there, is that in this kind of backlash against their attempt to destroy collective bargaining, guys like in my state, Kasich is trying to do it, the Ohio governor and Walker in Wisconsin, all these New Jersey governor, that not only will we recover collective bargaining, we'll now start our own counterattack where we're wanting even more rights. It's like, and that's often what's happened in American history. Now we start to say, you know, it's not good enough. We have to start getting people back on. We have to do what people in Germany do. By the way, a lot of Americans don't realize that in Germany, Germany, union members occupy half of the members of on board of directors. They get control there. That's why their economy is a heck of a lot better than America. You've got union involvement at the very top on corporate boards, and that's what we've got to fight for. And eventually have worker control over factories, have worker co-ops, and that was the initial goal of unions here, and we backslided, and eventually we've got weaker and weaker.
Well, and again, that can all be turned around, and as we learn in Get Up, Stand Up, Bruce Levine's book, there is a process that I'm going to share with this audience. That's why we decided to do this in two parts, and two parts isn't going to be close enough. Folks, I'm on page 42 of a book. I mean, we're 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes into an interview, and I'm on page 42 of this book. It is this critical. Get Up, Stand Up may be the most important book written for our generation. And I mean that sincerely. If you truly care, if you are passionate about your future, if you desire change, if you believe in this movement that I talk to you about on an everyday basis, this book is a must-read for you. Very quickly, demoralized, disorganized, broken, or what? What's going on, Bruce Levine?
Well, I think that was one of the my original article that I wrote, Are Americans Broken People? I was very curious about what other Americans would view our political passivity, which, you know, it's pretty sad when you take a look at our reaction to these senseless wars and corporate bailout, how few Americans are really active. And so, you know, there's, of course, the people at the elite will always view passivity as that people are happy, they're satisfied with their lot. And, of course, the opinion polls and common sense show that's ridiculous. People are not happy with their lot. So the other explanations are that people are ignorant. They're stupid. They just don't know what's going on out there. And I reject that completely. Again, the polls show that people know enough. Maybe all of us can't know everything, all the different ways we're getting exploited and ripped off out there. We can't know all these industrial complexes. But we know enough to know that that we should be spending our money at home rather than helping prop up some dictators in Afghanistan and all this kind of stuff. People know enough on a lot of these things, and so ignorance is not the answer. And I think once people understand that, they stop dividing themselves, they stop having contempt for their fellow Americans, which bothers me, which worries me, that people see our inactivity and we just get disgusted with one another. It's the reality is that what happens is when we eat any human being on an individual basis, whether it's spousal abuse or it's a parental abuse.
Yeah, and Bruce, I hate to interrupt you. We are just out of time, which is why I'm glad we're doing a part two.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much
for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Scrooge was a nasty old miser. But even he came to see the soul-destroying evil of his ways and found redemption in the end. One wonders, though, is there any hope for the Scrooges of Washington? Congressional Republicans are protecting tax breaks for Wall Street billionaires and big oil, while demanding that programs to aid America's growing number of poor people either be slashed or eliminated. The Obama White House is fighting most of this nonsense, but it's trying to appease the GOP by offering to sacrifice programs that ordinary people really need. For example, LIHEAP. Much of the country doesn't know what that is, but people who go through the long, bitterly cold winters in the Northeast know that LIHEAP literally is a lifeline for the thousands of poor families there. It's the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, which helps the poor afford the steadily rising price being charged for the heating oil that northeastern states rely on. Home heating oil in Maine is presently running $3.66 a gallon, up from $2.87 a year ago. Yet, in a concession to the GOP, Obama has proposed whacking LIHEAP's funding so severely that average benefits this winter would fall from about $800 per home to just over $300. That's not just throwing a budget into the Republican shredder. It's throwing people into it. In Bangor, Maine, where the average January low is only 7 degrees above zero, the slashed benefits will buy only about 100 gallons of fuel for the typical low-income home. It takes 850 gallons for those homes to stay heated through the winter season. This is Jim Hightower saying, rather than literally tossing the poor into the cold, how about cutting off all the heat to the White House and Capitol? Let those Scrooges feel the sting of their budgetary miserliness.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack of food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Look forward to this hour every single month because Harvey Santana is just an amazing guy. Those of you who have listened to the show since May, I think Harvey began with us full-time once a month in June, and he spends an hour with us, and we've got some great topics to get to today. Of course, we will be doing our Occupy segment at 7:50, so Representative Harvey Santana will be with us to that point. But, guys, give me the intro, and let's get going.
Well, I won't back down. No,
and joining me now is State Representative Harvey Santana, who never backs down, and my good friend, how are you? Good to see you again this month.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, 1310 AM. I am live here with you. This is great. The hour got moved back, so I got even more energy. I just woke up the coffee, ready to go.
Just what we needed was you with more energy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of crazy because next month we're going to be right on top of the holiday. It seems to me it's just hard to believe we're already coming up to the end of the year. A lot going on.
Yeah.
In the legislature, a lot going on statewide, a lot going on close to home. You are a resident of Wayne County. I am a resident of Wayne County. We're going to get into a little bit of what's happening as we were discussing in the last half hour with Bob Ficano and Tarika Mullen and the whole Severance Gate. But before we do that, as you walked into the studio, you told me that you spent the day in jail, and I want you
not
to
just jail, prison, brother.
Prison, not
I
jail,
went all
prison.
The way. You know how I am.
So before people freak out, tell us why you did that. Of course.
Yeah, I was invited by the University of Michigan Dearborn by a dear friend of mine named Ed Begal, who is the chancellor over there, and they had this thing called a restorative justice program, where they bring in students and people who are involved in some phase of, the prison debate in Michigan and in United States to go in and understand what restorative justice principles are. There was about 80 participants in this program, and we got to sit one-on-one with inmates, people who have offended, and we went through dramatizations of real-life issues that have happened. And I'll be honest with you, Tony, I spent the entire day sitting next to a guy who has spent my entire life in prison, 36 years. I'm 39, so he spent 36 years in prison. And, you know, you walk away thinking about this from a wide spectrum. Of course, here he is. He offended. He has to pay back his debt to society, 36 years. I don't even know what he did. I didn't want to know at that point. I mean, you can only limit it to a handful of things. But 36 years, and then he's got more to go. At some point, do we say, look, how long do you got to spend time in prison before you've got it? It was very thought-provoking. Taxpayers are paying a lot of money to lock people up. In some cases, they need to be locked up and throw the key away. In others, my view when I walked out of it was, can we revisit this here?
Well, it's fascinating because I've known people in prison that have served time. And some of them that have been quite close to me, and I know that maybe they shouldn't be spending as much time as they have to. I'm a big believer that we need to, one of the things we should really be taking a look at are drug offenses. Is it time to legalize marijuana? We don't have to get into that conversation, but Harvey, I do wonder, because the prison system is extremely expensive, and
yeah.
In fact, we'll recall the superintendent of schools somewhere in the state that sent a letter to the governor that said, I'd like you to designate my school as a prison because I'll get more per pupil that way.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of money incarcerating people. In every state they do. That there's no question. But what did you walk away from that? What did you learn in that one day experience?
Well, you know what I walked out with? I walked out with 10 policy analysts, to be honest with you. I got called out by a young girl when we were doing kind of like the wrap-up. And she goes, what we would like is Representative Santana to introduce legislation that goes a long way to help the corrections, department, the budget, and all the issues. And, I thought, and I says, okay, I can't let this one slip, So I got up and I says, I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better. For all the guys who are locked up right now, I want you guys to stand up. Let me look at you. For practical purposes, and this is not to be funny, but you got a lot of time on your hands. You're not going anywhere. You ain't got no hot date. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you guys all the resources. I'm going to give you all the tools you need. And I've got a piece of legislation that I am working on right now. I got to punt the ball. I can't go any further with this thing. I've given it to the Republicans. They've helped. I've given it to members in my own party. They're helping. But you know what? I need you guys to look at this thing. I need you to break it. I need you guys to be critical of it. I need you guys to find every single problem with this piece of legislation, fix it, and send it back to me.
Okay.
And so now I've got 10 guys who I've got to make packets for. I'm going to send them all the stuff. And I think by the end of January of next year, I will have a solid piece of public policy. But you got to make the system work, man.
Can I ask what the legislation would effectively do?
It's for my HIDA bill, the Homes Youth for Trainee Act. I want to extend it to the age of 26. If you're between the ages of 21 to 26 and you're HIDA eligible, I want to make sure that if we're not sending these guys to prison to pay restitution, that they're on the community working, paying back their debt to society. And so I think it's fair. And then at the end of it, they can walk away without a felony conviction if they're a first-time offender. And I think it's fair, especially now, because, guys do 2-3 years in prison. They come out with a felony, no education, no job training. To what? A bad economy? What do you think is going to happen within 3 months? They're going to go right back.
Well, you got to wonder if the bad economy had something to do with them committing the crime they committed to begin with.
Touche. Absolutely.
You know, no way am I justifying robbing from somebody to pay your bills. I'm not.
No.
But oftentimes, and we've seen cases where people have been literally forced because of their own personal circumstances to do things they wouldn't do in a normal economy or in a normal mindset. And, you know, I remember the guy that the older gentleman that robbed the bank out in Macomb County, and the judge gave him one hell of a break because this guy was literally pushed to the very limits of what he could comprehend.
Well, what's the old saying? Desperate times call for desperate measures, and a lot of people right now are desperate. I mean, I'm with you. I don't in any way condone or justify people's actions, but by the same token, the people sent me to be innovative. They sent me to go up there and think out of the box and provide, you know, a solution to an issue that is plaguing right now our budget. I mean, $2 billion a year, and what do we get out of it? And so, you know, Governor Snyder is always talking about, you know, value for money. Well, let's talk about the value of the prison system if all we're doing is, you know, funding gladiator schools, because I don't see anything good coming out of it.
No, there is nothing good coming out of it. Again, I don't know that, you know, it's not always about restitution. And, you know, we talk about retribution. We talk about rehabilitation. There's so much the system can do. It does offer. People take advantage of it. They don't take advantage of it. But at some level, Representative Santana, I think that, you know, you've got to have a carrot at the end of the stick.
That's right.
And if these guys aren't motivated, I mean, if the only motivation is to get out to what?
That's right.
You know, for some people, it's easier to be behind bars than it is to be out in society.
And you'd be surprised
somehow.
Tony, you'd be surprised how many times you hear that. I mean, seriously, inside, I mean, there were guys that said, you know, Santana, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out of here. And they gave me their whole situation. And, you know, I just looked at them. I says, you know, these guys are going to end up back here because they just have no other viable option. They've been so institutionalized at this point that this is all they know.
Well, you know, I occasionally, and I'll admit it, I watch MSNBC does those lockdown shows.
Oh, I watch them all the time.
Yeah, and I've become a fan.
That, Gangland, all the
right.
other ones, yeah.
And I look at some of these people, especially these younger guys, I'm talking anywhere in their 20s, who have families. I mean, they literally have 2, 3, 4 children. They don't have a job record. They've been in jail 2, 3, 4 times. They've gone from jail now into the prison system, and there's a big difference between the two. As you pointed out to me when you got here today, and it makes you wonder what, you know, do we owe these folks something? I think as a society, we do owe them something. You know, a lot of these young men and young women don't know any other life, Representative. They just don't. And so we do owe them an opportunity. Is it education? Absolutely. I think education's a big piece of it as far as I'm concerned, but those opportunities are there.
You know, you just touched on something. During the campaign and prior to the campaign, I can't tell you how many people I ran into, especially young people. I went to a prison up in the Thumb, I believe it was, and it was a young for young offenders. Walking through the cell block, ran into a guy who happened to be from the district. Couldn't write this if I tried. And I asked him, I says, look, you got 6 months left. What are you going to do when you get out of here? He tells me, I'd get with my homies. You're going to get with your homies. How long have you been locked up? 4 years. 4 years. That's all you're going to tell me? I'm going to get with my homies. I says, look, getting with your homies is going to get you one of three things. A, filthy rich beyond your wildest dreams. If you're smart, you do things right. Two, it's going to get you right back inside this can next time for a longer period of time. Number three, it's going to get you inside of a casket, probably closed casket now. Number one and number two are probably going to get you. Or I say number three is going to get you before number one and number two will.
Yeah. We got to take a break. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Wayne County situation. There's a lot to talk about. Also talk a little financial literacy as well. And it's interesting that this comes up because we were just talking about this on the show early last week. A lot to get to. You'll want to stay with us. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break here on First Shift and be right back. Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Tony with you. State Representative Harvey Santana with us as well. as he is every month at this time. And now we're going to turn our attention to Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano. Ended up getting tagged as severance gate, of course, it goes far beyond that. And we really don't know where this is headed at this point. The FBI is investigating. I'm a resident of Wayne County. The representative is also a resident of Wayne County, so we maybe take this a little more personally. But, Harvey, I'd love your thoughts on what's happening right now.
Well, just like everybody else in Wayne County, I'm upset. And I believe that the people in Wayne County have a right to be pissed off. You know, these political scandals, if you will, happen, and the first thing that people want to do is make the heads roll. Everybody's got to be held accountable. All these things have to happen, and they're absolutely right. It does have to happen. I would just caution people into understanding that we have a couple different processes now that we have to follow. The first process we had to deal with was this whole Takiyah Mullen issue. You know, we're dealing with that. That's been dealt with. It's going to move into another phase because I think now she's going to sue to try to get the $700,000. Okay.
Right.
So that's a process. Now we got this other process where the FBI is now investigating. They've been in there for 2 years looking around for stuff, and finally they, you know, sprung the trap. So now they're in there looking at stuff. Now there's another process where Ficano now has to go in and make changes in his administration. He's got to move around the players to figure out, you know, who's going to do what and how you react to this certain thing. And I would also say that for all the people that are asking for his head on a stick, just to step back and look 2-3 years ago at what was happening inside the city of Detroit. Mayor of Detroit was under all kinds of investigation, all kinds of criticism. It took an election, a re-election, to get Mayor Kilpatrick removed from office. So none of these things happen overnight. None of this stuff just, you know, happens because, you know, certain people start saying certain things. There's investigations, there's processes, there's questions that are now being asked. And to some extent, this is a good thing. Because I believe, and this is my criticism of Mr. Ficano, perhaps the executive took a couple steps back and let other people run the show when he should have been more engaged the entire time. You know, there's times when I tell my staff, here, you do this. I've got way too many other things that I got to focus on, and I trust them. And I trust them to do what's right on my behalf and what's, you know, right on behalf of the people I represent.
And to interrupt you for just a moment, you have to trust them.
Yes. Yeah, look. We can always move beyond a mistake in politics. I tell this to my staff all the time, but the one thing that I absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, that I demand out of them is loyalty. I need you to be loyal to me, because if I can't trust you, then what are you doing around here? Because you're the ones that are helping me think.
No, ultimately, it reflects on you.
Yes, right.
I mean, everything that happens under your purview is on you.
That's right. I mean, if one of my staff members goes out to a community meeting and starts raising all kinds of hell, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to get the phone calls. I mean, the constituents have my cell phone number. It won't stop ringing. And so I depend on my staff to be very loyal to me and understand that they have my best interest. Now, the criticism that I would have of Mr. Ficano is that maybe he trusted the wrong people. I don't know. Maybe he gave them too much responsibility. I don't know. The other thing I would now look at, and this is a great time for the executive to look at his roster and start asking, how do you justify your existence in this administration? What is it that you do exactly? Because one of the undercurrents in this whole thing has been the salaries that some of these people make. So there are a lot of people out there in Wayne County right now, PhDs, attorneys, master's degrees, several years of business experience and, you know, experience in government, and can't find a job. Haven't had a paycheck in 5 years in some cases. And so when you look, and I know some of these people, and you know some of these people, and the people listening into the in the audience right now know exactly of some people who have had six-figure salaries, and you wonder, how in the hell did that guy get the job? Mm-hmm. What does that person do? And so I understand that, you know, to the victor goes the spoils, and you worked on a campaign and they like you, they trust you, and now you get a job. Well, that's fine, but does your resume meet the expectation of that salary? That's one of the things I would question.
And that's where part of the controversy comes in, especially as it relates to Takiya Mullen. She went on to say, you know, listen, I brought in $5.5 billion in investments. And we played some audio earlier. Bob Ficano was on with Devin Scillian on Flashpoint yesterday and gave him a piece of paper and said, here's the $5.5 billion. This is where it went. You know, is she attached to each and every one of those projects? Well, you know, they didn't have that conversation. All I'm suggesting, Representative Santana, is that transparency is critical. You know, and understanding the history of the Wayne County's executive's office with Ed McNamara, who was also involved in a investigation with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You know, the only reason that one stopped or slowed was because he passed away. There seems to be a problem with cronyism. I was just explaining to the audience earlier, if you watch all of the people that are either not reelected or decide not to run for reelection, they have all found jobs within the Ficano administration, whether there seems to be a need for them or not. And they're all getting paid really well on top of getting their pensions.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that can't be ignored. And then we take it one step further. We, you know, one of the big issues in the Occupy movement, especially locally, and I get this because, you know, the people that either call the show or email me, is about money and politics. So let's talk a little bit about that, because you're right. To the victor goes the spoils, that's fine. But how many of these people, of the 3,200 people that are employed by the county of Wayne, how many of them actually donated money to the Bob Ficano for the county executive campaign? How many of them bundled the dollars? How many of them were rewarded for doing that? I don't know the answer to the question, but I do know that money in politics is a big issue for the people in the Occupy movement right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. But let me close the loop on the whole Ficano conversation. You know, I travel in political circles, Tony. You talk to other elected officials. You talk to the lobbyists and the people that have some of the bigger industries in the state. And everyone will tell you, look, Bob is generally a good guy. For the things that are going on, it's disappointing. But my thing is transparency. Look, let's be transparent about the thing. If you got nothing to hide, open up the floodgates. Here, which file do you want? What email do you want to read? What is it that you want? If there's nothing to hide, then hey, like they say in poker, I'm all in.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Trojan Man.
Attention, pleasure seekers. Trojan bearskin condoms are bringing couples closer than ever before. At an amazing 40% thinner than our standard condoms, just listen to what this couple has to say.
The irresistible
closeness and
amazing
sensitivity
allow us
to feel
more
connected
than ever
before. It's like we become one.
Wow. Can't get much closer than that.
Get irresistibly closer with Trojan Bearskin Condoms. Triple tested quality from Trojan, America's number one most trusted condom brand.
Can't wait to get it on.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
game.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Andy Rose. The new leader of North Korea was at the front of the funeral procession for his father today. Kim Jong-il's body was carried on top of a car through the center of Pyongyang. It was broadcast live on state television, and Professor Lee Chung-min in Seoul says that's a first.
For the first time, North Korea has shown this particular funeral procession on live TV, which does signal a slight change, perhaps, in how they want to reach out to the outside world.
However, North Korea refused to let international diplomats or journalists see the funeral in person. 6 days before the Iowa caucuses, Newt Gingrich is trying to put some more space between himself and Ron Paul, going on the attack.
A person who thinks the United States was responsible for 9/11, a person who believes, who wrote in his newsletter that the World Trade Center bombing in 93 might have been a CIA plot, a person who believes it doesn't matter if the Iranians have a nuclear weapon.
The latest polls show Gingrich virtually tied in Iowa with Paul and Mitt Romney. Police in Fort Wayne, Indiana say they found the remains of a missing 9-year-old girl, dismembered and stored in a freezer.
It comes to a conclusion that we didn't want it to come to, but at least it did come to a conclusion. We don't have to drive down past here now thinking, where is this 9-year-old girl laying?
Sheriff Ken Freeze says the man arrested for the murder had been letting the little girl stay in his home while her mother was ill. Despite weeks of protests, Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin says he won't investigate claims that there was fraud in this month's parliamentary elections.
He's saying still, no way, that's not going to happen, but if you want to do it, there is a way, go through the courts, be my guest.
That's CNN's Phil Black reporting from Moscow. A California tech company is suing a former employee to get him to change his Twitter account. Noah Kravitz says it's his personal account, but phone dog officials say they considered it part of his job, and he doesn't have the rights to it. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
2011 has been quite active in the airline business with merger developments such as the full integration of United and Continental and the buyout of AirTran by Southwest. Tough news also, such as the bankruptcy declaration by the parent of American Airlines. But this year is ending with another distinction, the safest ever for commercial aviation. One passenger death for every 7.1 million air travelers around the world. It's been a tough year for the movie rental leader. Stock in Netflix has lost more than half its value this year. Earnings and sales have taken hits after the company tried to split DVD and streaming rental services and hiked prices. Now Netflix has been slammed in the customer satisfaction rankings. Analytics firm Forsey ranking satisfaction among the 40 biggest online merchants. Netflix has fallen the most year to year. Amazon remains number one in satisfaction. Overstock remains last. Most Asian stock markets lower today. European markets up. S&P futures up 3. I'm Andrew O'Day at ParkItWatch.com.
I have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
It works in an advanced, homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling? Gone.
Zyvestra is amazing.
No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706. Stop the dizziness. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
For tomorrow and Friday, of course, many of us do have the next few days off. And just, you know, take time and just remind yourself and maybe remind others how grateful and thankful you are to have them in your life. No matter how difficult things are, and I know they're challenging, no matter how difficult things are, there is always something to be thankful for. There is no question that is true. And I know for some of you that's a little bit more of a challenge than others. And my next guest, by the way, is I think something that will resonate with him as well. Sometimes you have to dig a little deeper to find what you're thankful for, but it's there. I assure you it is there. Before we get to my next guest, let me remind you we're going to be visiting with Occupy Detroit at 7:50, as we do every single day on the show, so you can look forward to that. And, of course, we'll have plenty of time for open lines as well. The phone number, as always, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, at Tony Truffiano. Let me turn my attention now to really a unique man, a true leader, an activist, somebody that is the self-acclaimed and nationally recognized author and activist. He is the embodiment of transformation and a revolutionary at heart. At a time where the city of Detroit needs guidance, leadership, and vision, my next guest provides that in ways that most can't even fathom. Not only has he never given up on himself, he has never given up on this city. And in a time, again, that we need leadership, bold vision, and something more than just people showing up, my next guest is doing much more than that. Please welcome to First Shift this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Yusuf Shakur. Yusuf, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning, and happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and it's an honor to be on your show as well.
I appreciate that. You know, listen, I know that you've got a story. Everybody has a story, Yusuf. Tell my audience a little bit about your background so they have a full appreciation. And when I say you're a leader with vision, I think it's important they know a little bit about your story.
My story is I'm a native Detroiter, about an age 15, I've been kicked out of every Detroit public school I ever went to. My mother made me a ward of the state. Well, ultimately, ended up going to Mackey Training School. When I came home from the training school, I wanted to do good for my mother, but I didn't know how to do good. I had a teacher that took interest in me and wanted to help me go to college. And out of that conversation that night, it scared me to the point where I tried to kill myself because I didn't see myself going to college. Even though I grew up right down the street from Wayne Community College, grew up right down from Mary Grove, I didn't see those as institutions that could be my passport to a better life. That better life for me ultimately had became going to prison. And while in prison, I met my father for the first time. And that relationship that we developed in prison had a tremendous impact on me to transform my life. I served 9 years. I've been home 10 years since I've been home. I've graduated from college. I've written a book called The Window to My Soul, which details my journey, my struggles, my challenges to be the man I am today. I opened up a bookstore. It's been there 2.5 years right in my neighborhood, this year we was able to renovate into a cafe, do an annual back to school supply, travel across the country speaking about my life as a testimony of change of hope, and just doing a lot of work on a grassroots level right here in the city of Detroit.
You know, and do you feel, Yusuf, that there is some destiny to your choices? It seems to me that you're kind of that phoenix rising from the ashes at this point.
Almost definitely. I think when I look back on my life and look at all the trials and tribulations, I believe that was God speaking to me, walking me through those journeys, walking me climbing that mountain to be the person I am today. 30 years later, as I travel and I speak and he's further continued to educate me and educate me in a way where at one point I thought, the struggles of growing up with an alcoholic mother and not having a father was like a black issue, a black problem. But as I travel across the country, this is a human problem. I see it in the eyes of a white student that I talk to who has an alcoholic mother, in the eyes of Asian students who doesn't have a father. So this is what God has prepared me to be able to talk about those issues and be able, out of my liberation, allow someone else to liberate their soul to be a better human being.
Well, and again, well, first of all, before I go any further, I want people to know where the bookstore is because I think that I've already gotten one email, so let's go ahead and make sure we get that out. Where's the bookstore at?
The bookstore is located on Graham River in McGraw. The address is 5740 Graham River. It's right there where the old Olympia Stadium used to be. And again, it's in the heart of my neighborhood, a place where I helped once destroy, tear up. Now I'm back there with a vision of rebuilding it. It's one of the most dilapidated and abandoned areas in the city of Detroit. But within that area, you have a beacon of hope, the Urban Network Bookstore.
You know, Yusuf, I've got to ask you because we look around us. We open the newspaper. We see that the Detroit Free Press just did that whole series on murder in Detroit and the different neighborhoods, and they mapped it out. And it doesn't look good. It just, Yusuf Shakur, it just doesn't look good. Do you believe that we can turn this thing around? Do you believe that there are enough people willing to stand up and fight for what was once the greatness of the city? Do you think it's still there?
Of course it's still there. The Mayor Bean just did a campaign this summer called I Believe. And for me, that I Believe campaign spoke to the young students who are walking through gang-invested communities, walking through crack-invested communities, and still excelling, getting a scholarship offer to the University of Michigan, that grandmother who raised that child in that environment. That shows me that hope is there. It shows me that a human being is still there. My mother still lives in the same community, still fighting tooth and nail. We need leadership that understands that change has to come from the bottom. It can't come from the top. It has to come from people that care. The impact I have been able to have is based upon leading by example. And that's what true leadership does. It leads by example. It doesn't come talk to you, come patronize you, but it gets you involved because they are involved.
Well, that's a beautiful sentiment, man. That really is. It's a beautiful sentiment. We want to, You know, Yusuf, we want to not just be proud. I mean, it's nice that if that happens, but we want to know that there's a level of safety and that people are once again investing in their own communities. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about heart and desire and wisdom. You know, that kind of investment where we're building a community again, where we're wanting to reconnect with one another. You know, that's what makes us stronger. You know, yeah, you need capital investment. Of course you do. But at the end of the day, it's really about the emotional investment that we make in our communities, is it not?
Almost definitely. I mean, those citizens there, I believe wholeheartedly is what's missing in the city of Detroit from the so-called leadership, politically, religiously, and on a community level. People doesn't feel that their people are really out there fighting for them. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we need jobs in Detroit. No, there's no jobs about to come tomorrow. So what we need more importantly is people with a belief system that we love each other. You know, I mean, we've always had it hard in Detroit and other areas, but the love and the care for each other wasn't to the point where we lost our humanity. And that humanity comes back when you're giving. When the first year I did my annual back to school supply, and mind you, we're giving things away. Maybe 30, 40 people came out. They have abandoned so long that they didn't know how to be receptive to a program that was there for them. You know, over 5 years now, we've grown. This year we gave over 500 backpacks. We closed the street off. It's a community event, community fair, where they believe that I'm not about to sell them out because they've been sold out each and every time. And so that hope, it has to be restored, and it's restored through committed and dedicated people that's on the ground.
Yeah, and there's no question that is true, and it's good to see that people like you are standing up, and you know, and Yusuf, I say on this show, it's not enough to show up anymore. Now it's time to stand up, and you are one of those people that's standing up, and you know, thank God for you, because you are, again, that phoenix that rises from the ashes, whatever cliche you want to use, that beacon of light. The important thing is that you're doing it. You're engaging your brothers and your sisters. You're giving them an opportunity, but more importantly, you're giving them something to look up to. You're giving them something to look at, as opposed to just looking around. And you know, again, progress comes slowly. It doesn't. It shouldn't be fast. This should be deliberate. And in that regard, Yusuf, you've certainly done an amazing job at reconnecting to your community. I just want to remind everybody again, the urban network is at 5740 Grand River. You're going to find Yusuf online, by the way, at yusufshakur.org, and that's yusufshakur.org. But we'll get it on our Facebook page so you folks can connect with Yusuf that way. Reach out to him, folks. This is a man we need to be lifting up and talking about, and I'm glad that we had a chance to be with you this morning, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Yusuf.
Happy Thanksgiving, and again, thank you for having me on. The book, The Wonders of My Soul, it can get off the website. And right now I'm also working on my new book, My Soul Looks Back, Life After Incarceration, where I'm really going to get in depth about what is the new vision for Detroit.
Well, you make sure you connect with us when you're ready to do that, all right?
I sure will.
Absolutely. Yusuf Shakur.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
But we don't have one protection this year that we've had for a very long time, and that's the item pricing law, at least the old item pricing law. The new one does not protect us, the consumer. And something caught my eye late last week. The House Democrats had done a press conference where they were talking about the item pricing laws, and so I thought that it would be a good time to have this discussion. So let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Joining us is Representative Douglas Geis. He is from Taylor, represents Taylor in Romulus, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah, he has a personal experience with item pricing, the new item pricing laws, and so we want to welcome Representative Geis to First Shift this morning. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
You know, it's interesting because we don't have the protections we had a year ago, and so we need to be mindful of that. In fact, many people were quite shocked when the governor during his State of the State speech said, you know, one of the first things we need to eliminate is item pricing. Well, no one saw that coming. It came. It was rewritten, and here we are. And you recently had a personal experience with the effects of the new law, did you not?
Yes, I did. Driving back from Lansing, got a call from my wife. My son's in kindergarten, so she asked me to pick up two different types of noodles. He was doing a project where he had to do one of those noodle necklaces, learning patterns. And she also asked me to pick up some pistachios for him. Well, I stopped into a Walmart and, you know, I was looking at the shelf and, you know, they had prices $3, $4, $5. So, you know, I grabbed a bag of the pistachios, went up to the counter, bought the items, and I looked down at the receipt and the pistachios were nearly $11. And while I love my son very much, I don't think, you know, buying him $11 worth of, you know, pistachios is really, on my mind, and so I went back to the shelf, which is what you have to do now. There's no price on the item to say, well, this is what it should have cost, and look at the receipt. You have to physically go back into the store, took pictures of the shelf. There was no item price anywhere, you know, within 100 feet that said $10.58. So I went back up to the customer service counter. Of course, had to wait in line there. Once I got to the sales clerk, she didn't know how to handle it. She wasn't familiar with the changes to the law, so she called over a manager. So again, once again, I had to wait. Showed him the pictures, and he agreed that their pricing was misleading. That there was no price anywhere to show that it was going to be $10.58. He did choose to give me the difference between, you know, what the I guess the lowest price was in the area versus the $10.58 plus the bounty. But in my reading of the law, that actually is only used when something is mismarked, not when it's not priced at all. And I guess just, you know, to step back, that's the type of process that now you have to go through in order to prove that you've been wronged. And it took me probably about a half hour from the time I noticed that there was an error or an overcharge to the time that, you know, I was actually leaving the store. So under the new item pricing law, it says that if you have suffered harm as a result of misleading pricing, you can bring a lawsuit against the retailer for actual damages or $250, whichever is greater. In my mind, the fact that it took me a half hour to go through that entire process, I did suffer a loss. So last week, last Tuesday, I filed a small claims to really test out this new law. You know, of course, the old one, there was, you know, case law, there was precedent, there was everything, you know, everybody knew what their rights were. And now what we're finding out, talking with retailers, they don't know what their responsibilities are. Talking to consumers, they don't know what their rights are. And so this is going to be kind of a trial balloon to see what they mean when they say that if you were, you know, if you were harmed. And so that's kind of what led us to have the press conference last week, was just to let people know before they went into the holiday shopping season that the law has changed, that they need to be, you know, paying attention to what they're doing. But in all honesty, if you buy, say, 50 or 100 grocery items, you know, trying to keep track of what every single item was priced on the shelf is really not not feasible.
Well, you know, and Representative Grace, you are 100% correct, you know, that you, you know, took the time, and don't tell me that there wasn't part of you that was saying, and I appreciate you, by the way, being on the job, if you will, even though you didn't have to be on the job. You were there for a family trip. You know, it was something that your son needed for a school project. You could have easily said, you know what, I'm going to bring this to somebody's attention, but I do not have time to deal with this. And for those that think that our representatives and senators have a lot of free time, think again. And so I appreciate the fact that you stayed that day and worked through this process and are doing what you're doing, because you could have made the decision to walk away. I think we just need to recognize that up front. So thank you for not walking away, number one. Number two, I don't think you're doing this just to prove a point, though, are you?
Well, quite frankly, I was upset. You know, this is something that you know, when we looked at the data, the governor said, you know, whenever we get into issues, we should look at data. We knew that there were going to be problems because there were problems beforehand. When I went and I'm actually an engineer, certified Six Sigma Black Belt, which for those listeners that don't know what that means, it's the statistical analysis. And so I went around and did a sampling of stores prior to the law being changed. And what I found was roughly about, 30% of the items didn't have a price on the shelf. About 20% didn't have a price on the item. And there was about nearly 2% that didn't have either a price on the item or a price on the shelf. And this is before the law changed. No, another way of looking at that is for every, 100 items, nearly 20,000 times, you would have absolutely no price on the shelf or on the item. And when they went through to change this law, they didn't look at, they wanted to say, well, we were different than all other states, and they, were trying to say that it cost consumers in Michigan more money. There were two other state representatives, Representative Barnett and Santana, that went down to Indiana and Ohio. And what they found is our prices were actually 0.5% lower. If you compared item to item, what it cost in Michigan and what it cost in Indiana and Ohio, our prices were actually 0.5% lower. When they made this change, there is no specification of the size of the font used on the shelf sticker. No specification where it needs to be. Does it need to be, in the vicinity of the item? None of that is spelled out. So what you're finding, if you go in a corner store, they may have all the prices up along the top of, the cooler. Well, a little old lady, 5 foot, can't necessarily, see up there to figure out, what the price is of items. So, I think that, just the premise of it, that we were out of tune with the rest of the country and that it was some undue burden on retailers. Now we've gone completely the opposite way in that it's a burden on consumers. And, it would have been easier to walk away, and I think that's what you're going to find from a lot of folks. If you're overcharged $1 or $2 or just completely misled, are you really going to go through the process that I detailed before? I mean, you number one, you have to have some way of documenting it, either that or, try to find a manager and, drag them back out to the spot where you had the issue. But if you think about it from a logistical or a process standpoint, it's very onerous to try to prove that you've been wronged.
So what do you expect it to now happen? You're just going to go through the court system and see what happens there? Or are you also going to try to change the law, modify the law to make sure the consumers have better protection?
Well, number one, I don't think, the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the governorship. I don't believe, if they've gone, to this measure to basically gut the law, that they're going to say, oops, my bad, and redo
it. Let me interrupt you for just a second. We got to get to a break. Can I ask you to stay with us a little bit longer?
Certainly.
All right. Representative Doug Geis is our guest. And thank you for staying with us. We just were up against the break. So let's take it now, and we'll continue this conversation on the other side. This is First Shift. You're listening to...
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671.
That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comment somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Triano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
It's First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, welcome back, folks. Representative Doug Listgeist is my guest, and he is talking about something that really is critical, especially this time of year. If you're just joining us, he was on his way home from the legislature in Lansing. His wife had asked him to stop and pick up a couple items for one of his son's school projects, and he realized that one of the items, a bag of pistachio nuts that on the shelf that wasn't priced, he thought it was somewhere, I would think, in the $3 to $5 range, ended up being $11, and by the time he resolved it, it was 30 minutes later. Now they find themselves in a small claims situation, and Representative Geis, as we look, and I think that you unfortunately but eloquently stated it, we have a Republican controlled Senate, a Republican controlled House, and a Republican controlled governor's office. The odds of changing the bill or modifying it aren't too good for us.
No, they're not. And on top of all that, people should have a recourse when they don't feel that the government has represented them well, and that's to put something on the ballot and change the law. What the Republican legislature did was to put an appropriation into the bill, ostensibly for education purposes, $100,000 for the Attorney General to educate the populace on the changes of the law. But in reality, what that $100,000 does is it makes it referendum-proof. And we've seen that on a number of different laws that have passed this year. So it's kind of a legislative trick that really takes the people's voice out of the equation. And what we've seen, or what we haven't seen, is any type of education being done about this law. It went to effect September 1st. And the reason why it was delayed from when it passed earlier this year was to allow retailers to kind of make changes. But the only education that is out there right now is a very short web page that kind of details supposedly what your rights are, although one of the points on the web page says, does a retailer have a right to ask for your name and your address when you ask for a bounty? And the answer from the Attorney General is probably not. I know I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds like weasel wording to me. It's either yes or no, but to tell the public that probably not is not something that I kind of view as definitive education. But there's been no print media given to retailers. I was at a local Home Depot and talked with one of the managers. I saw an issue there and pointed it out to her. And she said, please enlighten me. Tell me, what we need to do, because no one has told us what our responsibilities are.
Well, isn't that crazy? Interestingly, I had a couple weeks ago, had to pick up a cover for my grill. You know, I wanted to buy a nice cover for the winter, you know, because you're not using the grill much in the winter months. And so I'd gone into a local hardware. I like to try to do business locally. And I'd gone into a local hardware, and I said, hey, you know, do you have this? Yeah, they're over here. It took them 20 minutes to figure out, Representative, what that cover cost. 20 minutes. And you know how they figured it out? They went online and went to a website because there wasn't anybody in the store that knew the price of that grill cover. And the woman at the cash register said, ever since they had us take them dang prices off everything, no one around here knows what anything costs.
And that's what I'm, you know, since this kind of story has broken in the last week, I've heard numerous stories from folks that are frustrated, that have wasted, you know, time and energy in trying to do what should be kind of a basic type of transaction. You know, what is the price of something? You know, is it, you know, a good value for the money? You make that judgment decision and you purchase it. But if there's no price whatsoever, or you can't find the price, or you have to, you know, hunt around and find, you know, here's the SKU number for that product versus, you know, a sticker that's somewhere on a shelf, it's quite cumbersome. And we went from having one of the best consumer protection laws in the country to having one of the weakest. And, you know, as people see, that's why we need to kind of educate the folks about what their rights are. If there is no price anywhere to be found, and you go ahead and you purchase that, you know, my take on the law is that, you know, you can sue for up to $250. And you asked me before, you know, could we change the law? Again, probably not in this term, but what, you know, we need to do, there's three branches of government. There's the legislature, there's the executive branch, and then there's the judicial branch. And the way that I read this law, I think it may have been maybe an unintended consequence, but the fact that they said, you know, actual damages or $250, whichever is greater, every time they don't have an item marked on a shelf, it's my reading of the bill that you could sue for $250. And if that's the case, you know, I could see a class action lawsuit being brought in the state of Michigan for any consumer that is in a, you know, predicament such as yours, that, you know, you end up wasting 20 minutes of your life trying to figure out, you know, what something costs. And time is money. At least, you know, if they were making the argument that it took too much time to put the prices on the item, it's my argument that to try to, you know, to spend 20 or 30 minutes, you know, resolving what should have been a pretty simple transaction, that's lost time on the consumer's part, and they have been harmed.
Well, again, it just, especially this time of year, a lot of people are going to be out shopping. And, you know, this can be something as simple as a bag of pistachios or, you know, some major gift that you're going to give away. And, you know, the checks and balances have gone away. This, I think, makes things a whole lot more difficult. And it actually does place a lot more responsibility on the consumer. Don't you agree with that, Representative Geis?
I think it's placed all the burden onto the consumer. It's really been a quantum shift. And let's face it, this issue has been literally on the shelf, waiting for, you know, the planets to align where they have both the House, the Senate, and the governorship to repeal this. This is something that, you know, the different business groups have long said that they did not want to do. And as soon as they came to power, you know, they teed this one up and ran it through rather quickly. In the past, the people have said, no, we want that. We want that information. And, you know, through, you know, vote of the people, they have, you know, blocked any efforts in the past, to repeal this law. And unfortunately, the people don't have that same recourse, this time.
Well, it is unfortunate. We're going to keep an eye, of course, on this, civil action that you have filed. And if you wouldn't mind keeping us up to date on what's going on with that, as we'd like to follow it, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that are interested in this. I want to thank you for your time. I want to wish you a happy holiday season. Best of luck as we get through the rest of this year. And let's hope for 2012, great things for Democrats the state over.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. We'll take a quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Are you one of those 11th hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim the Elf Hightower is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, exceed all expectations with out of the ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. Black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as Artiste Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down to earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather six of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
He's in Washington, D.C., and we'll let Jeff tell you why, but we are pleased to welcome back to First Shift, Jeff Breslin. Jeff, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm not good, Jeff. I'm really not well. I got to tell you, I look at what's happening on the state level, what the Republicans are doing. Yesterday, the anti-bullying legislation particularly upsets me. What they're trying to do to retirees' health care here in the state. Then I take a look at what's happening on the national level, which will tie me into why you're in Washington, D.C. this morning. We've got this super committee that's supposedly going to save us trillions of dollars, Jeff, but they won't even meet with their constituents to ask what they think will work. You know, and we'll remind people that you, the folks, the Michigan Nurses Association, are involved in a really critical program right now to highlight what's happening around the country, and I'll direct them to the fightmainstreet.org website, or fightformainstreet.org website. You know, Jeff, there's a lot of reasons to not be terribly good right now.
I would have to agree. You know, it's a shame that you get people that are elected into office that want to pay more attention to the donors, that the corporations and Wall Street interests than what they do their own constituents, the people that put them there.
Well, we look at the super committee, and let's focus on what's some of our representatives on the west side of the state. We saw in their last filing that they are literally, Jeff, bringing in thousands upon thousands of contributions from the wealthiest people and corporations in this country. Yet they're totally ignoring the will of the people by not giving them access to this process. There's something unconscionable about that.
There absolutely is. You know, we've asked several times in multiple different ways for them to hold a town hall meeting, and the response that we're getting is, okay, well, we've held many town hall meetings. Okay, sure, you may have, but you're not talking about the issues that are first and foremost on the agenda right now.
Well, let me let people know that we're actually not just the West Side, the middle of the state as well. Representative Dave Camp of Midland and then Fred Upton of St. Joe, St. Joseph, who are both on the super committee, are both have brought in, again, hundreds upon thousands of contributions since they were appointed to the super committee. And again, the Michigan nurses have been focusing on trying to take better care of all of us. Jeff, let's remind people what the fight for Main Street is all about, because we did have you on for that, but that was, I don't know, eight weeks ago or so. So let's refresh people's memories on that.
The fight for Main Street, the nurses are leading the way on that. You know, we advocate for our patients every single day at the bedside, but we can't do that just at the bedside anymore. There are so many things going on that affect our patients and their ability to get health care, their ability to live. And the fight for Main Street, the Main Street campaign, advocates for health care for all. It advocates for jobs at living wages, good quality public education for everybody, and a just taxation system.
Well, again, and let me, and we'll get this up as well on the Facebook page, but fightformainstreet.org. Is where you're going to go to get all that information. So you folks have decided at the Michigan Nurses Association, in conjunction with the national nurses, that enough's enough. You're not just going to sit back and take it. You've done some radio advertising in different parts of the state. You've done some billboards. What do you hope, Jeff Breslin, to accomplish by this campaign?
We hope to get, in particular, with the radio ads and the billboard campaigns, we hope to get David Camp and Fred Upton to hold town hall meetings with their constituents to hear directly from them their thoughts on what should be done as far as their super committee involvement. You know, they're looking at cutting some basic services. They're looking at cutting from people who do not have much. They're cutting their medical care, and there's a different way that would be much, much better. If they impose a small financial transaction tax on the Wall Street dealings, it's less than 1%. It's not going to affect the companies that are doing all the transactions, but it would make an incredible impact on the average person. It would eliminate the need to cut the basic services that they should get.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I was thinking about this last night, you know, getting ready for the show for today, and I'm thinking about all the issues that Fred Upton and Dave Camp really have no connection to. They don't live in a world that you and I live in. Jeff Breslin, they don't understand what, you know, your rank and file union members do on a daily basis at the bedside of people of all walks of life, and nurses don't treat anybody differently, whether they come in with the best health insurance in the world or no health insurance at all. I mean, who better to you know, provide a voice to the fight of what this nation needs than nurses? And, you know, the last time I had you on the show, you know, we talked about the burden that places on a nurse to see how families are torn apart by illness. This has nothing to do with how much money you have. Of course, that's a factor, but that's not what this is about. You know, there's an emotional component to this that shouldn't be ignored. And yet politicians so easily ignore the real problems that are happening. Nurses don't have that choice, Jeff. They don't.
That is absolutely so true. you know, the politicians, when they end up being hospitalized, and I hope that they don't as well as anybody. I don't want people to come into the hospital. If they're coming into the hospital, it's because they have something tragic happen in their life. But when the politicians come into the hospital, they are treated like a VIP. And when that happens, they don't get the same care that everybody else does. They have extra staff in many cases that are brought in to take care of them. They don't see what's really happening to the average person.
No, they don't. You know, it's I'm reading a quote here. You guys were provided me some information, and there's a quote from Emily Fredrickson, who is a registered nurse and a constituent to Fred Upton. And she says, "My fellow nurses and I see the suffering that our patients are going through due to actions of big corporations and Wall Street that helped ruin our economy, suffering far beyond what we can fix at the bedside." She goes on to say, "If Congressman Upton is serious about solving problems like unemployment and foreclosure that plague Michigan, he needs to take time to listen to his constituents like me and my neighbors. But here's the key to it, Jeff. I don't begrudge corporations their riches, but they should spend their profits on hiring people instead of purchasing votes from politicians. The voice of every individual should count and be heard, whether they can pay for it or not." That is at the crux of all of this, and I'm assuming that's why you're in Washington, D.C. today, to remind these people that everybody should have access to them, not just those that can write a big, fat, freaking check.
That is so incredibly true. You know, we talk about having Wall Street pay a tax on their transactions, and I hear a few people that are in the opposition talk about, oh, so you just want the rich to pay for it all. That's not it at all. We just want them to pay their fair share. You know, a very small tax on the Wall Street transaction, this already exists in some form or another in about 40 other countries, and it's working well there.
Yeah, and in fact, and we'll get into that in greater detail at some other time. We just don't have time to get into all the particulars of that. But this idea, you know, we talked, Jeff, about economic fairness. I've really come to enjoy that phrase because, you know, or economic equality, I'm sorry. Economic equality does not mean, and let me be very, very crystal clear on this, it does not mean that I should have, you know, access to all the corporate riches. Listen, they take the risk. I understand that they're doing research and development. I could go on and on and on. And I don't begrudge a corporation their success. If they're successful, God bless them. Let them be successful. If there are individuals within that corporation that make disgusting amounts of money, so be it. But here's the problem I have. While the corporate CEO or those executive vice presidents or those vice presidents, and you keep on moving down that management ladder, as they continue to be rewarded for doing things like cutting jobs and taking shortcuts, and really, you know, putting the race towards the bottom on a faster pace, that's what I have an issue with. That's not economic equity. It's just not.
That is very, very well put. You know, in this country, the thing that they don't seem to be keeping track of, you sit there and you take and take and take from the average person. Who is it that supports all of these corporations? Who is it that goes in and buys their products? It's a chain. If you don't have the average person out spending the money that they are able to earn when they're able to earn it, then the smaller businesses end up going out of business, and you get a very large gap between the average person and the super rich. This country is one of the richest in the world. That hasn't changed. What has changed is the amount of money is being shifted from the working class to the super rich.
Well, and we saw with that data last week and talked about it earlier this week on the show, how the 1% have seen a 275% increase in their personal wealth, the bottom 20% and 18% increase. Jeff Breslin, we're just out of time. Have a very, very good trip and a safe trip to Washington, D.C. I'll look forward to seeing you again sometime soon. You're always welcome on the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Entertaining thing you're ever going to get out of Mitt Romney. The guy's just a nightmare. In fact, the nice segue to my next guest who is waiting on hold, so let me go to him. Joining us now is Ben Lebold. Ben is the National Press Secretary for Obama for America. His resume, folks, is quite impressive. Certainly a hardcore, committed Democrat, committed mostly to the truth. And, Ben, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Nice to be with you.
Listen, there's a lot going on, but the number one issue, Ben, certainly that we have to take a look at this morning is the payroll tax cut and what this Republican Congress is doing, especially this time of year. I mean, Ben, this would be unconscionable any time of the year, but around the holidays when people can least afford this kind of political tactic, is this what we can expect from the Republicans moving forward?
Well, you know, the Republicans are supposed to be the party of tax cuts, and what they've been unable to explain is why they've fought tooth and nail to protect tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, shifting costs down to the middle class and seniors. But why the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans can't come together to pass a $1,000 tax cut for 160 middle class Americans across the country. We're 9 days away from a $1,000 tax increase on those middle-class Americans. The president's been absolutely clear. Congress cannot leave town until this is done.
Well, listen, even John McCain, who has been at odds with this president over many things, agrees with the president on this one, that we need to pass this tax. I mean, we need to do this. This is legislation that is far overdue, and we cannot ignore it. Yet, in the House, Ben, they're acting like it's the Democrats' problem, not the Republicans.
Well, let me tell you, the Republicans' number one cheerleader, the Wall Street Journal editorial board, has abandoned them on this today and made absolutely clear that middle-class Americans need this tax cut. They believe they will get them because the Republicans are really playing with fire here. Economists have made clear that this could do serious damage to our economy.
Well, you know, I'm not going to ask you to be an apologist for the Republican Party or for any party for that matter, but let's talk a minute about what the president has said all along we needed to do, and that is, of course, to make sure that we protect those that are unemployed right now and those that are employed, the middle class that are employed, that we don't unnecessarily burden them with an added tax that, by the way, only the middle class would be burdened by. And the president's been clear that we need to pass this legislation.
That's absolutely right. And he thinks we need to do more than recover from the recession. We need to restore economic security for the middle class who've been working hard, but their wages have flatlined over the past couple of decades while the folks at the top keep getting wealthier. And to do that, we need to take first steps like he proposed in the Jobs Act, which would create 2 million jobs and put $1,000 into the pockets of working people across the country. And you compare that to the sorts of things that the Republican presidential candidates have proposed: more tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, more tax cuts for large corporations, letting Wall Street write its own rules again and pursue the sorts of risky financial deals that put our entire economy at risk. I mean, that's a real contrast because those are the same policies that led us into the economic crisis and squeezed the middle class in the first place.
Well, you know, Ben, we take a look at what the GOP has said no to. They said no to putting teachers back to work. They've said no to putting policemen back to work. They've said no to putting firemen back to work. I mean, yes, they're the party of no, but it's dangerous what they're saying no to.
Right. I mean, the thing about that is that the Jobs Act was filled with programs that Democrats and Republicans had both supported in the past, from putting first responders back to work to rebuilding our roads and bridges across the country. These were not controversial programs, and Americans know that we needed them. Two-thirds of Americans supported the programs in the legislation, and that's why the president made clear he's not going to wait for Congress on this stuff, and he took the actions within his power to move to create jobs, whether or not Congress was going to pass them.
You know, and Ben Lebold, I got to tell you, and I say this with a little bit of a smile on my face, but and the reality is, of course, the president proposes these programs and a way to pay for them, and the GOP still says no. I mean, let's talk about priorities, Ben.
Right. I mean, it's and you know, this is happening at all levels. It's happening on the level of the congressional Republicans, and it's happening on the level of the Republican presidential candidates. And you know, Mitt Romney still won't say whether he agrees with House Republicans to refuse to vote for what Democrats in the Senate and Republicans in the Senate supported, which was an extension of the payroll tax cut.
Well, he'll let you know after something passes. That's what that's when. Hey, Ben, I want to wish you a happy holidays. We're just out of time for today, but I appreciate you checking in with us today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you from time to time moving into the 2012 campaign.
Talk again soon. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Ben LaBolt, once again, Obama for America. A quick break here, folks. We wrap it up on the other side. Give us a call now, 888.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese, or the golden McChicken. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio. I'm Andy Rose. The Republican presidential candidates won't be getting a lot of sleep for the next week. They're pushing through Iowa, preparing for Tuesday's caucuses, and the rhetoric is heating up, too. CNN's Lisa Desjardins joins us live from Des Moines. Lisa?
Andy, less than a week now until the Iowa caucuses, and the sense here is it is still a three-man race for the top between Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich. Romney kicked off a bus tour yesterday. Now CNN will have new polls, poll numbers out of Iowa later today. Meantime, I spoke with Republican chairmen from 11 of the largest 12 counties here. All of them say they're preparing for possible record turnout. Reporting live, Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Des Moines.
Democratic Senator Ben Nelson says he won't run for re-election next year. He's 70 years old. That will make it harder for Democrats to try to hold on to their three-seat majority in the Senate. North Korea's government surprised a lot of people by showing live television coverage of today's funeral for Kim Jong-il. But Victor Cha with the Center for Strategic and International Studies says no foreign diplomats were invited to see it in person.
North Korea has always been a very private and secretive place, a dark dynasty, if you will. And therefore, their efforts to not let this be open to the public is not surprising. I mean, Kim Jong-il was a mystery when he was alive, and his funeral was a mystery as well.
His successor is his son, Kim Jong-un, who led the funeral procession. Investigators in Fort Wayne, Indiana, say that a man has confessed to killing a 9-year-old girl and mutilating her remains, stuffing them into his freezer. Aliana Lemon had been missing for 3 days. The man now accused of killing her had reportedly allowed her to stay in his home for several days. A chimpanzee who reportedly played Tarzan's companion in some of his films has died at a sanctuary in Florida. It's not clear how old this particular cheetah really was. Reports range from 50 to 80. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The holidays aren't over yet, but you're so over them. Keep the holiday cheer going at Dave & Buster's with our Eat & Play combo starting at just $15.99. So bring your family, friends, and uninvited house guests for the latest and greatest games like Fruit Ninja, House of the Dead 4, and Big Bass Wheel. Then keep the holidays going and check out our epic late night deals, because it's time to go from grinching to grinning and end the year right. Only at Dave & Buster's. Offer available all day Sunday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 5 p.m. Prices may vary by location. Limited menu. See store for details.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now's the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on four qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Each year, the Internet becomes a bigger story in the holiday shopping season. Here in 2011, online shopping reached new record highs. But what do we think of the online shopping experience? This morning, the Fresh Customer Satisfaction Index from researcher 4C Analytics has some insight. It has ranked the 40 largest online merchants in customer satisfaction. Again, tops is Amazon. Dead last is Overstock, followed closely by The Gap and Toys R Us. Today, China says it will continue to increase the flexibility of its currency. The comment follows a U.S. Treasury Department report declaring the Chinese yuan undervalued, but which declined to call China a currency manipulator. The yuan's value has increased 12% versus the U.S. dollar over the past year and a half. The Treasury Department says that is not enough. Most Asian stock markets did move lower today, most European markets higher. S&P futures gaining 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
It works in an advanced, homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling, gone.
Zyvestra is amazing. No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance. Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706. Stop the dizziness. Call 1-800-773-9706. That's 1-800-773-9706.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
The Michigan Democratic Party chairman, Mark Brewer.
They're partying on Mackinac Island this weekend. The fate of our school kids, our police and firefighters, our unemployed is hanging in the balance. But do the Republicans care about that? No. They'd rather party on the island and get their job done in Lansing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Mark Brewer.
And we do welcome back to First Shift. Actually, for the last time in 2011, the chairman of the Democratic Party himself, Mr. Mark Brewer. Mark, welcome back. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you, Tony. Glad to be with you, as always.
Well, we do appreciate it. Kind of, you know, naughty and nice list today, Mark. You know, for some people, one of the real gifts of 2012, especially for about 60,000 young people in the state of Michigan, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, is the gift of health insurance, Mark.
No, that's right, Tony. I mean, as the Affordable Care Act kicks into effect and it transitions into effect over the course of time, this year has been a great year for young people all across the country, as well as here in Michigan, who previously couldn't get health insurance coverage. The law now requires that they be provided coverage on their parents' policies through age, I think it's 26, if necessary. And a report issued last week demonstrated the great impact that this had across the country. Here in Michigan, 60,000 young people now have health insurance that didn't have it before. So, again, one of the ongoing achievements and accomplishments of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, you know, and again, Mark, we stop and take a look at that. You know, I don't know if we can put or if we have a number to put on that. But I don't know that the number matters because ultimately we know that now there are 60,000 young people, but you know, we'll equate that to 120,000 parents that breathe a little easier knowing that even their children that are young adults are taken care of. Because this market, let's be honest about it, was a serious concern for a lot of people that had, you know, adult children that were not covered, and it became a serious issue.
Oh, yeah, Tony, and people say, well, you know, young people, they don't get sick. They don't need insurance. That's not true. You know, illness, sickness happens to all of us, and people need to have insurance. The basic premise of this act is that everybody should have insurance. You know, when the act took effect pretty much immediately, Tony, the right of insurance companies or their ability of insurance companies to deny people coverage for pre-existing conditions went out the window. That's now illegal. And that helped, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people throughout the country get access to insurance. Now we see this with young people, these health insurance exchanges, which will enable people to do some comparison shopping and find the best policy, the best price for themselves, they're coming. So the benefits from the Affordable Care Act, even though they don't get much publicity, keep rolling out, and it's been a great benefit to people throughout the country.
All right. Well, we know that to be a gift, Mark, but we do know that some people, on the other hand, got a lump of coal, whether they wanted it or not, thanks to Congressman Dave Camp, who led the charge to slash unemployment benefits. Again, Mark, at a time when no matter how much and how badly people want to get back to work, there just aren't enough jobs, Mark.
No, I mean, this is just, I'd say it's unbelievable, Tony, but on the other hand, we've seen this time after time over the last year. Yeah, Dave Camp's proposal last week, which actually passed the House, Democrats voted against it, Republicans in the U.S. House voted for it, would cut unemployment benefits, Tony, by over a year. You can imagine that. This is not trimming a few weeks or doing that kind of stuff. A year's worth of benefits in the worst economy, the worst recession since the Great Depression. It's just unbelievable how callous and hard-hearted people can be. And again, you and I have talked about this before when it comes to unemployment benefits. It's not just that, you know, you're helping people keep a roof over their heads, keep their kids fed, keep themselves clothed. This money has a stimulating effect on the economy. People who are unemployed don't stick that money in a bank. They don't stick it under the mattress. They spend it, and that helps everybody else in the community as well. So it just boggles the mind that Republicans would even consider, let alone vote for, such a dramatic cut in unemployment benefits.
Well, you know, and of course we know that this president and this Congress is focused on trying to provide the best possible extension of benefits to people. We know that. Ultimately, they're trying to create an atmosphere of jobs. We also know that the Republicans, both at the state level, Mark, and at the federal level, are hell-bent on doing the exact opposite. They don't want to provide the kind of extensions that we need. They don't want to create legislation that creates jobs. And in fact, all we've really seen out of the state legislature and from the federal government. Are those kinds of job-killing proposals and those kinds of vision that don't count in the middle class? In fact, Mark, at the greatest time in the history of this country, we see more attention being paid to the 1% than we've ever seen in the history of this country.
No, that's absolutely right, Tony. And even as Camp and the Republicans in Washington were doing that damage last week here in Michigan, the Michigan legislature passed a bill to, quote, reform our unemployment insurance. Whenever you hear that word out of a Republican, you know, hang on to your wallet. It's terrible. One of the worst features of it, Tony, is that your benefits can be reduced by what we would call virtual or imaginary jobs. If there are jobs that you could get or that you could work at, even if they're not available, they can reduce your benefits by that amount. Now, it's really ironic, Tony. We always hear Republicans complaining about how Democrats and progressives are in favor of redistributing income, right? That's the big rap on us, that we'd like to redistribute it. Well, as you just pointed out, over the last year, what's been going on, I think, is the greatest redistribution in the history of this state and in this country of money from the 99% to the 1%, whether it's unemployment, whether it's tax cuts for the rich, cuts in public education. There's a theme that ties all of this together, and it's this massive transfer of wealth from the 99% to the 1%.
You know, Mark, I guess I, at some level, and maybe it's my own naivete, I'll admit that right now, but I'm wondering what they ultimately expect to happen. At what point, Mark, do the rest of us, to that 99%, finally say we've had enough? At what point do the Republicans not think that we're not paying attention, that we don't see what they're doing? I mean, are they just trying to take advantage of us while they know they have enough votes? I'm talking more, at the state level now, but this is disgusting.
Yeah, no, I think that is right, Tony. I mean, they're certainly taking advantage while they've got it. They continue to espouse this philosophy that somehow all of this is going to create jobs. We know it doesn't. It never has in the past. It's not creating jobs now, this massive transfer of wealth to the wealthy. They're not spending it on creating jobs. There were reports in recent weeks about, continued abuses on Wall Street with, just obscene and excessive bonus payments and wages and salaries paid to those folks. So we know exactly where this money's going. It's not going to create jobs, but they are trying to take advantage, and it's up to folks like you and me and a lot of others to keep pointing this out and, drive toward making some changes when it comes to the elections in less than a year.
You know, Mark, I was reading, I was telling the audience at the top of the show, the Detroit Free Press is doing a series this week on homeless children, and it's really been, and I read yesterday's and I read this morning's, and it's really been an eye-opener. And I stop and I think about the current legislature that we have, and I wonder if they read the paper, if they talk to the average voter, if they understand what they have created and the devastation that it's having on communities all over the state of Michigan. You know, Mark, there are people that find themselves in a situation that they never thought they would find themselves in. There are people that, at one time had really good middle class income jobs that are now living week to week or month to month. To read the stories of these school age children that are having to live this way, it's just unfathomable to me. And then you wonder at some level, does this legislature not read the same thing you and I read? Do they not understand that they have a responsibility to all of us, not just some of us?
I don't think they do, Tony. I mean, I think there's several things going on here. A lot of these folks, of course, they played by the rules their entire lives, right? They paid their taxes. They did all the things that they were supposed to do as responsible citizens. And in their time of need, the Republicans turn their back on them.
Mark, let me ask you to hold right there because we've got to get to the break. We'll pick it up right there because they have turned their back on them. And in fact, the end of last week, we can give plenty of examples how they did just that. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic party. Again, this is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Stay where you're at. We will be right back.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Vernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Mark Brewer is my guest, and we're getting ready to wrap up our interview with Mark. It's our year-end with him, unfortunately, but we've got lots of stuff to come in 2012. Mark, I am going to ask you to kind of look back at 2011 here in just a minute, but let's wrap up our thoughts as we're going to break. You know, you said something that really kind of keyed my interest, that the Republicans are turning their backs on the average Michigander. And, you know, I wonder, Mark, if they actually had to face these people, I mean literally face them, what they would say. Looking at some of the legislation that they put forward at the end of the legislative session last week, it makes you wonder if they live in a realistic world at all, if they ever have to be face to face with the people that vote, because you can't imagine they honestly believe that and then vote the way they vote, Mark.
No, Tony, man, I think they do. They really do believe that it's your own fault if you're unemployed, if you're homeless, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the ideology that is supporting all of this, that it's these people's fault that they don't have jobs, et cetera. Now, again, it's just mind-boggling. It ignores the reality of what's going on throughout Michigan, but that, I think, is what is sustaining this attack, all the things we've seen this year, blaming people for things that are not their fault, for things that have happened to them, and having absolutely a complete lack of compassion, lack of charity.
Well, you know, it's interesting whether, you know, let me just take an issue. The charter schools, lifting the cap on charter schools. Now, people will say, well, you know, why would you choose that issue? Well, you know, Mark, they basically have continued to ignore students. They are punishing students. They're punishing teachers and not taking care of students. Why would we lift the cap on charter schools without dealing with the real issues, which is quality education? And it makes no sense to me to solve a problem that didn't exist.
Oh, that's right. Again, but that's what happens, Tony, when you're driven by ideology and the facts are completely irrelevant. You know, we have charter schools in this state that have terrible quality problems. Democrats and others attempted to add quality measures, quality standards to that legislation last week. That got ignored. It's like, wait a second. I thought this was about quality schools for our kids. You're about to empower for-profit corporations that are interested in making money, people who are just interested in running a school without regard to the quality of education that they provide, and you're going to let them do that? You're going to let these charter mills in this state, and sadly there are a couple of them out there, Tony, that just grant these charters and provide no oversight, no ongoing supervision of that school, and you're going to subject our kids to that? And the Republican answer is, yes, we don't care.
And they don't care. I mean, that is one of the realities. Okay, so Mark, if I were to tell you that when the 2011 began, we knew that we had, you know, as Democrats, we knew that we had an interesting year coming. Did you ever think, Mark, in your wildest dreams, that it would turn into the year that it began, that it turned into?
No. I mean, look, you know, we knew the Republicans had the right-wing agenda that the Tea Party was driving for us. But, you know, there was some hope at the beginning of the year that Snyder was a moderate, where there would be some restraint there. But, in fact, we've seen no restraint. Tony, he has proposed and signed legislation that John Engler never even proposed or considered when he was governor 10 years ago. He does it with a smile. You know, he does it with platitudes and so forth, but believe me, the quality of government that we're getting out of the state government, particularly in this last year, is far worse than what the state endured under John Engler. Hard to imagine, but that's exactly what the last year has seen.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right, and you know, for people that weren't following government back in the Engler years, there's actually the point is actually made there. As bad as things were, there was still, from time to time, an opportunity to have a real dialogue. Not all the time, Mark, but not like it is now. We now see with people in this legislature have no desire at all to include the Democrats in the discussion. We saw what happened at the end of the legislative session. You know, the frustration amongst Democrats. And Mark, who's to blame them for being frustrated? Imagine going to work every day knowing that your colleagues have absolutely no intention of honoring, you know, your commitment to democracy. That has to be extremely frustrating.
Oh, it is, Tony. And your next guest is a great demonstration of, you know, Bob King has stressed cooperation with the auto industry, the auto employers. And look what they've accomplished working together. And it is sad that the Republicans in Lansing, including Snyder and the legislature, have rejected that model. We could have done so much more for everybody in Michigan over the past year if they've been willing to embrace that cooperative model that Bob King and the UAW have championed and have demonstrated works. I can only hope that in the new year there'll be a change in attitude. I'm not optimistic about that, but I know the Democrats stand ready to cooperate. We're not going to compromise our principles. We're not going to sell out the people we represent. But we are ready, willing, and able to cooperate if there's the willingness on the other side.
Well, my only hope, Mark, is that because it is an election year, everybody in the House has to be very careful how they vote. Especially voters, have a tendency to pay better attention in an election year? Now, the early part of 2012 is going to be critical. Because we'll have, you know, we won't have as long a memory of what happens in the early part of the year. Not that we won't be reminding voters what happens in the early part of 2012, but that's where we really need to be most careful. And if people are naive enough to think that the Republicans are just going to go, you know, if they're just going to stay away from the big issues, January, February, March, I think, are going to be hugely important to the legislative agenda for Republicans. And we're going to need to fight harder than we've ever fought, Mark. Right to work comes to mind amongst other issues.
Oh, no, that's right. And now it turns out that after all these sacrifices, Tony, by people in this state, you know, the state ends up with hundreds of millions of dollars in a budget surplus. What are we going to do with that money? Are we going to rebuild our education system with that money? Or are we going to continue tax cuts for the wealthy and hide that money and not use it for the pressing needs of people around the state? So, no, these battles are going to continue. People are not going to forget the pension tax this last year. They're not going to forget the $2 billion tax cut to the big corporations at the expense of public education. We're going to make sure they don't forget that come election time in November.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the Republicans were not the smartest people in the world, Mark, when they put some of this legislation into effect. Some of it doesn't hit until October of 2012, which is right before the election.
Yeah, well, again, we're going to remind people of all that. Right after the first of the year, Tony, though, people are going to see the effect of the pension tax.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to have to start setting that money aside in order to pay over to the state government to fund this huge tax cut for corporations, which has failed to produce the kind of jobs that Snyder and the Republicans promised.
Well, Mark, we're just out of time for today. I want to thank you for everything you've done for the show since May, and, of course, we'll look forward to having you back after the first of the year.
Thank you very much, Tony. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Greenwashing. That's the use of shameless PR campaigns by notorious polluters to portray their corporations as benign, Bambi-loving protectors of nature. But now comes greedwashing. And who's in greater need of a greed bath than Wall Street banksters? So, splish splash and rub-a-dub, here came J.P. Morgan Chase with a holiday season PR campaign intended to scrub off its greed. The message was that Chase is not merely a bailed-out, fee-grubbing casino huckster, but a generous philanthropist that wants only to benefit humanity. Rather than simply presenting this image makeover in an ad, however, Chase created a two-hour television special on NBC devoted to itself. Called the American Giving Awards, the show profiled community groups that had received charitable contributions from the Wall Street Bank. Isn't that just precious? If any viewers miss the point that Chase is not really a financial behemoth but a bunch of big-hearted bankers who give away money, the show was spiked with 8 30-second commercials about the bank, plus frequent reminders that the altruism being displayed was presented by Chase. Well, actually, this 2-hour greed wash was also presented by us taxpayers, for the cost of the show and the donations to the groups are all deductible from the corporation's income taxes. Yet, we got no credit for our help. Probably an oversight. But the cheesiest part of the whole fraud is that the total amount of Chase's magnanimous donations to the 5 groups was $2 million. Come on, this outfit had $104 billion in revenues in the past year and showered its CEO with $23 million in pay, including a $5 million cash bonus. This is Jim Hightower saying, at J.P. Morgan Chase, charity really does begin at home.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
For the many of us who are still not done with our Christmas shopping, and for, you know, and again, we had this conversation last week before last, I think it was, how do we do more local? How do we buy more local? Well, Jeff, being the crack producer that he is, found us the best source for doing that. Not just buying local, buying Michigan. And so let us turn our attention now. Joining us is the founder of BuyMichiganNow.com, Lisa Diggs, who I know, because I've been through her website quite extensively, has lots of answers for us. And a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and whatever else we're celebrating this time of year, Lisa Diggs. But welcome to First Shift.
Thank you very much.
What a novel concept. BuyMichiganNow.com. Tell me a little bit about the formation of BuyMichiganNow.com and why you decided to put some energy in that direction.
Well, I actually started it in 2007, believe it or not. At that time, my business has me traveling around the country, and things were much better around the rest of the country than they were here in Michigan. And so I'd go off, and part of what I do is help businesses improve, and I'd be helping economies other places come back, see how it was here. Somebody else lost a job or a business that I liked closed, and I just wanted to see what I could personally do to make a difference. And the easiest thing seemed to be looking at where my own dollars were going. And so it started with just a little bit of research because I couldn't find a website of information that really helped me understand which businesses were local and which were not and that sort of thing. So I started doing a bunch of research, and then I got real passionate about it, started talking to friends about it, and they said, can we get a copy of that? And I thought, well, maybe I should put it up on some website. And so I did with BuyMichiganNow.com and originally launched the day before Thanksgiving in 2007 with the idea that if we looked at where our dollars were going, what kind of groceries we were buying to fill our holiday feasts, and what kind of gifts were going to be purchased and from where, that we could really make a significant difference. So that's really how it all started.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, let me ask you this question. If you were to describe to people what this web, Buy Michigan Now represents, how would you describe it?
Well, you know, really it's about what percentage of each of our dollars that we spend could we keep here? And it's a global economy. When I first launched it, that I heard a lot of naysayers saying, it's a global economy, you got to get used to it. And you do. And we certainly want to compete on a global level. But the reality is you can look at whether or not the store that you're buying from or the restaurant that you're eating in is really local or part of a national chain. If it's part of a national chain, then some of the money that you spend is going back to some corporate headquarters somewhere and not going into our taxes and going into, you know, supporting the local community. On average, about 30 more cents of a dollar when you buy from a local business stays in the community. Why? Because they use a local web developer. They sponsor the baseball team in your neighborhood. They do those things that larger corporations maybe don't do in every single community that they serve. So if you buy, we call it a three-mitten purchase. If you buy a product that is made of Michigan ingredients that was made in Michigan from a locally owned store, nearly 100% of your dollar is going to stay in our community.
All right, so if people are looking to utilize BuyMichiganNow.com as a resource to do some shopping for the holidays, is this a resource that they can use to do that?
It absolutely is. There's three significant things that we have on the site that will help. One is we have all year round something called the Michigan Blue Pages, which is an online directory of Michigan-based businesses, and you can search it by zip code or by keyword, and it tells you businesses that are based in Michigan, and we have some criteria, and it'll show you which criteria they meet to be interpreted as based in Michigan. We have a grocery guide that we keep up year-round. It's also an Apple application, an iPhone application in the Apple Store called Grocery Guide, and it tells you brands that come from Michigan-based businesses for filling the table and filling your grocery cart year-round. And then every year, this will be the fifth one, every year there's a gift guide that we put out as well that has about 100 suggestions. And it's really to get people thinking. We're not necessarily saying just buy this one particular product, though we love every gift that's in there. But it also says if you really try, you can make an effort and do it.
Well, and again, there are a lot of people, and that's how this whole – that's why you're here today, because this discussion – started with how can we and where are their resources, and somebody says there should be a website. Well, it happened to be you, BuyMichiganNow.com, and so that's how you ended up here. But you know, there are a lot of people that want to be loyal, and yes, we, you know, we're not naive, Lisa Diggs. We do know that we live in a global economy, and we do realize and recognize that we have to look at that realistically. At the same time, the majority of us, you know, can buy local or can buy Michigan for the majority of the things that we need. And so having this resource is, I think, invaluable.
Well, we really can if we make a concerted effort. And one of the things, too, is if somebody out there is listening and they've got their holiday shopping done and they didn't really factor it in, you know what? It's a great New Year's resolution then. You know, think about all year round where your dollars are going. Ron Gettelfinger, the former UAW president, said to me when he first discovered the site, he said, you know, I think about it as every time I spend a dollar, it's an endorsement of that organization and where they get their products and the kinds of things, the kind of quality that it is. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what it is. You know, if we're getting a lot of products that are imported from all over the world, people are always asking me, well, does it cost more if you buy a local product? Sometimes it does, but it also means it meets the quality and safety standards that we have here in the U.S. that a lot of other countries don't have. So you got to ask yourself, what is that worth to you?
Well, you know what, and for some, and a lot of people, I would suggest, Lisa Diggs, for a lot of people, the loyalty factor is worth whatever extra cost. And, you know, and chances are we're not talking significant extra cost to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people, it's they would rather spend a little more to make sure that their purchase is, you know, more local, but certainly loyal to the state of Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are worried about are we going to have the dollars for schools and to fix our roads and all those kinds of things. Well, the larger our tax base is, the more we can take care of all those things that matter to all of us in our day-to-day living. So, you know, every dollar that's going to a Michigan company is increasing the amount of money that they bring in, which means they pay more in taxes, which means that comes back to us. You know, it's just thinking beyond the moment that you're spending the dollar.
All right, before we have to let you go, let's talk a little bit about this pledge. Tell us a little bit about the pledge.
We have a pledge on the site that if you agree with what we're trying to do, it simply says that you pledge to play an active role in building a strong, vibrant, and diverse Michigan economy, that you're going to be a part of the solution by speaking positively about the state, learning about our products and services, and making a concerted effort to buy from Michigan businesses, that you'll think Michigan first. If you're willing to do that, you can go to buymichigannow.com, click on the pledge, take the pledge, invite other people to do it. We're really trying to show Michigan-based businesses that we are serious about supporting them with our dollars, if they're serious about keeping jobs here.
Well, it's really an exciting opportunity for people, and I was playing around with it, and literally there are dozens of categories, hundreds upon hundreds of businesses. I would challenge people to stump the system because you've got a great database of stuff there. If you want it, again, I can't imagine not finding what it is that you're looking for. And, you know, and it's as simple as folks going to where it says directory on the buymichigannow.com website, and it will give you a drop-down menus of places to go. In fact, I'm going to do it right now on the air. You click food and beverage. I'm going to just hit apply search, and all of a sudden, it's giving me a wonderful list. Better Made Snack Foods, Big B Coffee, Bosco Pizza Company, Coffee Beanery, Kelly's Carmel's. And again, all these places have websites, all of them. Lisa, I'm sure, and I don't have time to do this all right now, but, you know, I'm sure that they all sell stuff online. You know, this is, it doesn't get any easier than this.
We think so, and there's more than 3,000 businesses that are listed now, and if anybody out there listening has a Michigan-based business, it's about a five-minute process to list your business on the site as well, and our basic listings don't even cost anything.
Well, it's really an amazing opportunity, so I really want to encourage people just to go to buymichigannow.com. That's buymichigannow.com. We'll get it up on the Facebook page for everybody to make it easier for them. Give it 5 minutes. I think, Lisa Diggs, you'll be hooked for life. It's just one. This is a no-brainer. To me, this is a no-brainer. Thanks so much for your time, and again, happy holidays to you.
Thanks. Happy holidays to you as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful find. I want to thank Jeff for actually Jeff's discovery.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with a very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Well, let me take you back to yesterday for just a minute. You'll recall that we had asked you to show up at a town hall meeting yesterday in Garden City. Well, we got word, I don't know, let's call it midday yesterday, that town hall meeting in Garden City with the reprehensible Michelle Klein, the superintendent of the Garden City Public Schools, was canceled. I'm going to venture a guess as to why, but we'll get to that in just a moment. That brings us to today. The town hall meeting didn't happen. We still need action, though. She can run, but she cannot hide. And on Monday, there is a critical school board meeting that, again, we're going to ask you to attend. Joining us now is Julie Naughton, president of the Garden City Education Association, to give us a little update on what transpired yesterday and what we need from you today and moving forward. Julie, welcome back.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning.
Pleasure to have you with us. A big response to you being on the show yesterday. Obviously, this is something that people care about, whether they're in Garden City or not. So explain to us what happened yesterday, and do you have any idea why the town hall was canceled?
You know, we did not get a reason why it was canceled. We just got notification that it was being canceled. And the teachers actually still showed up. And we were at the middle school. There was a middle school dance last night, and we were greeting parents as they dropped off their students yesterday. We had a big group of teachers there, and we were handing out the letter that was in the paper yesterday and a copy of the ad that was in the paper yesterday, and parents were very supportive.
Of course they're going to be supportive. Julie, you know, one of the things about the truth is it's empowering. You know, you can play the game all you want, but the truth, Julie, is the truth, and all you're trying to do is spread that message.
I feel the same way. In our Facebook pages, you know, we have so much support on them, but there is one person out there on the web, and they are attacking us on our web pages. And it seems to be just one person. It doesn't seem to be a whole slew of people that are unsupportive. So with that, I think we're making some people afraid.
Well, you know, and let's talk again about, why they should be afraid. We have the truth on our side.
Absolutely.
Number one, we know that, and again, this is all my opinion. This is not Julie's opinion. This is my opinion. I want to be very, very upfront about that. The superintendent, Michelle Klein, lied. She bold-faced lied. She broke the Open Meetings Act, in my opinion, which is breaking the law. She tried to negotiate the contract through the media, which, by the way, is against collective bargaining law as well. So my experience is she doesn't really know what she's doing. Then she is avoiding having a direct conversation. I'm not saying confrontational, Julie. I'm saying conversation. Let's just have a very civil discourse about the truth. And the truth is, things are being forced upon the teachers that no one else in the school district has had to deal with. Everybody else, any other group that has a contract, a recent contract. They've all been taken care of, except, Julie, the people that take care of the kids, and that's the teachers.
I agree, Tony, and it's almost as if they're afraid to talk to us. It's almost as if the perception that has been broadcasted from the legislators that teachers are villains, it's being amplified throughout the state, and even our local administrations, you know, they treat us that way. Yesterday I got a phone call from administration telling us that if we're out there for a cause, we cannot be on school property. And then when we were out there, there was a Garden City policeman that actually came up to us and just to make sure that everything was on the up and up and okay. And he was very supportive. He was very pleasant. And, you know, he said he knows what's going on. He's been reading about everything. So with that, I was encouraged.
Well, I'm encouraged as well. Let's remind people what we need them to do, Julie, on Monday, because Monday is a big day for the Garden City Education Association.
It definitely is. On Monday, we need all of our members there. We need community members there. We need parents there. And the biggest thing is, and we need the support of our school board members, which honestly, Tony, I think we have it. Our school board members want what's best for the school district. They want us, they don't want us to be fiscally irresponsible. They want us to, in Garden City Schools, to stand and be there and not be threatened. And I think they would support us if they listen to the facts.
All right, and where is the school board meeting at?
The school board meeting is at Memorial Elementary. It's 30,001 Marquette Avenue, and I should qualify this. That is where it's scheduled to be.
Is there a chance they could change it? Is there a chance they could bring it to change it to a different venue?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. With the town hall meeting being canceled yesterday, I'm just going to keep an eye on it.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know that they can cancel this school board meeting. It's their last business meeting of the year, and I'm sure that they have business that they have to do in an open meeting.
Right. And I don't think they would cancel it. Could it be a possible venue change? There's no telling.
Well, they've got to be a little bit careful because there are laws that protect such things, and they're in all fairness to people that want to be there. Again, they publish where their meetings are. That's, again, part of the law is you have to publish where the meeting's going to be. And I know that, and I don't know exactly what the law states in regard to changing the venue, how many days out it has to be, but maybe we can do some homework on that and get that to this audience. In the meantime, I know you're going to keep me up to date so I can keep this audience up to date. We just need to continue to keep the pressure on. You can still call. You can still email. All the information is still on our Facebook page. Folks, you may have to scroll down a little bit to find it, but it's all there. So just do the right thing, and let's support the Garden City Education Association. Julie, I would like to say have a nice, relaxing weekend. I don't know if that's possible, so try to enjoy your weekend. How's that?
I will, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tony.
My pleasure. Julie Naughton, again, president of the Garden City Education Association. Folks, we need to support these people. I can think of an issue that is as nonpartisan as this one is. This isn't about Democrat and Republican. This is about right and wrong. Fair enough? Fair enough? All right. So, okay. We need to help these folks. We need to help them. We need to support them. And this is a simple thing for you guys to do, is to step up and to write the school or to call the superintendent, Michelle Klein, and express your disgust over what they've done. It doesn't matter where you live. This is something you can do. And I'm telling you that the reason they canceled That town hall meeting yesterday is very simple. They got wind of a lot of people showing up, and they didn't want to be confronted. They didn't want to have to deal with the truth. Well, Monday, that's not an option. They have to have this school board meeting. They cannot cancel it. They have business that they have to execute. And there's a protocol for people that get to speak. You have to fill out a form. You get 3 minutes. You know, folks, show up and take three of those minutes. And the very least you can do is call or email your support for the Garden City Education Association. All they want is a contract. That's all they want. That's all they want. And this is all as a result, folks, of your Republican legislature making a mess, making an absolute mess. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. We've got to start forcing our hand a little bit. Fair enough.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
As I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their homes, avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration, that would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most that are out on the streets served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families. Also, we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share. The veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they've sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day, and as Tony would say, be well.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky. 10 parsecs, which is really high. Helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310.